Thank you, Brother Smith. I think it'd be appropriate that we take our hands and begin to worship the Lord by clapping unto Him. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Let's do it together, shall we? It is possible to clap your hands and shout simultaneously. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. What a great honor it is to be at Camp Meeting 2004. I consider it a great honor that the Camp Meeting Committee or whomever was responsible would ask me to come. There are many more who are more selectable than I, but I do value and appreciate their confidence in me. So good to see the people of God in the house of God to hear the word of God and experience the Spirit of God. It's all about Him. Amen. I said it's all about Jesus. Jesus. Amen. And we're going to have a great time in the Holy Ghost today. I have so enjoyed the ministry of those who have gone before me. We need camp meeting in our lives or something like it. We need this kind of event. We need the preaching of the word of the Lord. We need fellowship. We need to experience the unity of the body. We need to understand that in our particular place of ministry, that it is bigger and greater than just that place. And coming together with others helps us to see the bigger picture, and helps remind us that what we're going through is similar to what others are going through as well. Amen. This is a good thing. I'm so happy to be in the house of God with the people of God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Smith, for those kind words. I may chew them, but I shall not swallow them. Amen. And we are so grateful that this camp meeting is occurring. Amen. All of the men who've put their time and effort into this great event every year, please know that we appreciate it. Please know that we are grateful for it. It is a tremendous blessing to us. I think it'd be appropriate that we let them know, everybody on the camp meeting committee. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Psalm 84. We'll remain standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Psalm 84. I want to read beginning in verse 5. Psalm 84 and verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. I'm going to preach for a few minutes today on passing through. Passing through. Would you put your Bibles down next to you? And once again, would you lift your hands, your hearts, and your voices to Jesus? We need His help today. I desperately need the help of the Lord. God, we honor you. We honor you, we praise you, we lift you high, we magnify, we extol, we exalt, we lift. We praise you, for you are great and greatly to be praised. With my mouth I will praise you, and with my life I will worship you. Know therefore this day, consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else, none beside him, none above him, none in front of him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It was about 8 years ago when I visited the church in San Bernardino, pastored by Brother Stratton, Brother Davis, the bishop. We were evangelizing, and we were in revival. God was helping us. And I recall on one occasion spending some time going out to eat with Brother Stratton. And we were in discussion, Brother Stratton and I, about various things. And he was commenting to me about some of the challenges that he was facing in pastoring the church, challenges that are normal to all pastorates, nothing particularly unusual. And he was talking about the fact that it was necessary that people learn to understand and engage in the process of forgiveness, learning how to forgive, making sure that there was nothing in a man or a woman's heart that would keep them from heaven. And he mentioned to me, he said, you know, Brother Claiborne, he said, I just want to make sure that everybody is happy. I want to make sure that everyone is getting along. And I nodded my head because I understood. And then in just a few seconds, he stopped and he amended that statement. He said, no, he said, I didn't mean to say that. He said, really, Brother Claiborne, the reason why I want all of this to work out is that I want to go to heaven. And when he said that, it struck me. It impacted me to such a great degree. I realized that at that moment, Brother Stratton was providing for us a picture of our ultimate goal. He was letting us know what mattered the most. It wasn't just about progressing along and dealing with problems and conflicts, but it was that in the end we would go to heaven. I want to remind the church today that heaven is still our goal. I want to place a little yellow sticky note on your heart again today and remind you that it is so crucial that we have the heavenly vision. I want to reiterate what Scripture has indicated for us so clearly, that above all else, I must be saved. And I really, truly want to go to heaven. And in heaven, there will be no crying. In heaven, there will be no dying. In heaven, there will be no tears. And if there are, they shall be wiped away. In heaven, there will be no conflict, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. In heaven, there will be peace and joy everlasting. And none of the issues that I'm dealing with in life now, nor I will never be able to take them with me to heaven, because they won't be there in heaven. The Bible says that there is a place prepared for us. God has already done the work. There is a mansion prepared for you and I. And that if it were not true, he would not have told us so. I'm reminded of the song that says, in that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Anybody remember that song? Would you praise Jesus for a moment? Thank him for the promise of heaven. I still want to go to heaven. I still want to make heaven my goal. I have determined that heaven is still the supreme goal. What matters most today is not just improved efficiency, although that is a worthy goal. What matters most today is not personal influence, although that may be a worthy goal. What matters most today is not the number of bodies in attendance or the size and the scope of our building projects, although these are certainly worthy goals. But what matters most today, however, is that you and I pass through the gates of pearl into that city where the streets are paved with gold, where the walls are made of jasper, and where night is swallowed up by the light of the Lamb. I want to see Jesus face to face, and I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You can call me simplistic if you will, but I really, truly desire to go to heaven. And when I get over there, I will see the heroes of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, whom the Bible states died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May I say to you that everything that we purpose to accomplish in this life must first answer to the heavenly vision. We must begin with the end in mind. We must work our way back from heaven to here. And if we do succeed, then this life will be nothing more than a pilgrim's passage. We were just passing through a long tunnel from here to glory, through which there are times and places and occasions that we may not understand, and we cannot see the answer, and we're faced with the trials and temptations of life. But a tunnel and a passage nonetheless that will one day pass us through from this life to another, from this place to another place, from this world to another world. I don't know about you, but I feel like singing that song when it says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere just beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I shall not feel at home in this world anymore." May I say to you that if you're going through it, you need to understand you're just passing through. May I say to you that if you're facing the darkest trial of your life, let's get it in context. It's just passing us through from this world to another, from this place to another. Whatever you're facing, let's put it in the right perspective. We are pilgrims on a passage, and we're just passing through. Amen. Stephen Grillet was a French-born Quaker who died in New Jersey in 1855. And he would be unknown to the world today except for a few lines which made him immortal. These lines, which are so familiar, have served as an inspiration to so many people. And they are simply these: "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now and not defer it, for I shall not pass this way again." I want to say to the saints of the Most High, I realize that you may feel buffeted and you may feel plundered and pillaged by the enemy even as I speak. There may be issues going on back at home and in your family and on your job and in relationships that you are in, that are reminding you of how impossible it is to go through this thing by ourselves. But I have come in the authority of the Holy Ghost to let somebody know that you are not alone in this passage. There is one greater than you and I, whose hand we hold and whose steps we follow, and he's going to lead us all the way home. Come what may, hell or high water, I'm going to make it all the way through. I'm not going to go halfway and turn around. but I shall pass through this life into another world. And when I get there, I shall look back upon this and realize that heaven was my goal all along, and this was just a pilgrim's passage. Amen. I read to you from Psalm 84. What a beautiful psalm it is. There are three beautiful elements in this psalm, three categories, and they are the pilgrim's desire, the pilgrim's passage, and the pilgrim's arrival. Give me just a moment, and let's go through it quickly. Psalm 84 is attributed to the sons of Korah. The date is uncertain. It probably belongs to the period of the monarchs when the temple was still standing. The psalm has a structure similar to Psalms 42 and 43, and no doubt came from the same period. The former psalms, however, stressed the sadness of separation from God and His sanctuary. But this psalm is different because it emphasizes the joy and the gladness of the house of God. It consists of three stanzas. They are distinguished by the use of the word Selah. These particular stanzas are separated by the word after verses 4 and verse 8. And it indicates a chronological progression, as I mentioned before, the desire of the pilgrim to get to the house of God, the progress of that particular pilgrim, and his arrival at that house of God. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist expresses his delight in the house of God. It is a lovely place to him. He longs to set his foot in that place again. But not just the temple alone, but God himself is the object of his desire. And the temple is only the means of getting to the presence of the living God. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist actually envies the privilege of the birds of the air who build their nests within the precincts of the temple. The birds are nesting not necessarily in the altars, but in their vicinity. And then he goes on to say that the ministers in the temple who reside there in the altars or near it are regarded as very blessed. He considers them greatly blessed because they can be seen constantly, consistently raising and lifting their praise to God. In verses 5 and 6, it says, "Happy are those whose minds are wholly and completely set on this journey or this pilgrimage." And then it mentions the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping. No doubt a reference to that time in the past when the children of Israel went through the desert. And in that time of need, when they needed water, they dug the wells and they were miraculously filled. Those holes were still there. And they were being filled from above by rain so that they became pools that refreshed them as they passed through. No doubt it was a reference to that waterless, barren valley through which they passed on the way to Jerusalem. No doubt the ministers and the priesthood came at least three times a year to three very important festivals, and they had to pass their way through to Jerusalem. For indeed all roads led upward to Jerusalem. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find anyone saying that they came down from came down to Jerusalem. They were always headed up to Jerusalem. And on this passage from their place to this place, they would pass through the Valley of Weeping. But there they would be refreshed by the showers of blessings from God above. Verses 7 and 8 tells us that the company of priests arrives at the temple to appear before God in one of these particular festivals. The leader of the group of the pilgrims begins to pray that God would grant them favor and that they could have an audience with the Lord. Then the rest of them join in prayer with him, and they begin to call the Lord their shield and the anointed. And they realized in their prayer that the welfare of the entire nation was bound up in the welfare of the king. And so they prayed that the king would be present and that they could have favor with him. Then in verse 10, we find the psalmist beginning to praise the Lord and expressing his desire to spend at least just one day in the house of the Lord.
For indeed, just one day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand others somewhere else. Let me stop for a moment and preach to you that before you make your decision to quit on God, stop by the house of God and let your spirit be refreshed again. Before you decide that you can't make it, stop by the house of God and let him refresh you again. For one day there in the house of the Lord is far better than any other spent anywhere else. Thank God for his house. Thank God for his spirit. Thank God for his people. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his house. Amen. And then in verse 11, the psalmist goes forward and says that the Lord is a sun and a shield. He is at once both a source of light and protection. He is their grace and their glory. And these will be the rewards of those who walk uprightly. The Bible says that he is speaking here, the psalmist is, that the Lord would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. May I say to you that God does want to bless you, that God desires to give you the blessings and the benefits of his spirit. You don't have to drag it out of him. You don't have to pull it out of him. God loves you and he wants to bless you, and he does so gladly. And then verse 12. It closes, the psalm closes with a blessing upon those who put their trust in the Lord Yahweh himself. That is essentially the essence of Psalm 84. It is the story of pilgrims on their passage. I have learned through the years that there is a great deal of merit to be given to the statement, the rites of passage, the concept, the rites of passage. We've read about it, we've heard it, and perhaps we've never understood it. I just began to look at it. I realized that it was a very important definition for us. And it's defined as a ritual associated with a crisis or a change of status. That makes it very plain. The rites of passage are often present when we have births, when people reach maturity, when people are married, and when people die. It is no accident or coincidence that we celebrate the birth of babies with a most beautiful ritual. It is no accident that there is a marked passing when someone reaches the place of maturity. It is no accident that marriages are celebrated at the wedding and the beginning and inception of them. And it is no accident that, especially in the house of God and the household of faith, that we celebrate the passing of one who passed from this life to another. I'm glad we have it that way. These are the rites of passage, and they occur in those times when crisis occurs or a change of status. These rites of passage can be found in the good times, and these rites of passage can be found in the bad. They can be found in the valleys. They can be found in the mountains. There are rites of passage throughout our life, for indeed this is nothing more than a passage. I read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 recently, and I ask you just to stay with me for just a moment. I read how that Jesus passed through the heavens. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I studied it a little further and found in the Greek interlinear New Testament that the phrase passed into the heavens means literally passed through the heavens. It meant a progressive process from the tomb all the way into the throne room. What is most interesting, however, about Jesus' passage from this world to another is that apparently the demons of the air and Satan himself tried to prevent Jesus from going to that place. We know that the devil tried to keep Jesus from the cross. We know that he tried to keep him from the tomb. He tried to keep him from completing the atonement by barring his progress through the air. And concerning this epic battle that Jesus had with the demons, Paul spoke in Colossians 2 and 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I don't know about you, but when I read it in the context of the passage, I get chills when I think of the battle. Jesus not only defeated the enemy, but he gathered up all of the captives and the spoils of war. And like a conquering Roman general, he brazenly led them up and down the corridors of the heavens for all of the spirit world to see. He was triumphant. He was victorious. He had proven to the courtroom of heaven that he could indeed take the keys of death and hell and the grave and either turn the lock to freedom or bind up the door and keep the key forever. Now we find that those who are held by Satan are now being freed, released, and led by a new conqueror. Jesus is now leading the parade with his spoils of war in tow. May I say to you that Jesus passed through the heavens, and the enemy tried to bar his progress, but he made it all the way through to the other side to sit in the place of authority at the right hand of the Father so that he could work on our behalf. May I say to you that I said all of that to say this: Jesus knows better than you and I what it means to pass through. Jesus knows better than you and I what it means to struggle. Jesus knows better than you and I what it means to have to go through it all. The trials and the tribulations and the infirmities and the conflicts and all that goes with this passage of life. Jesus knows it better than you and I because he's already made it through. He went to the cross and he shed his blood, and he had a nail put in his hands and his feet, but he made it through. He made it all the way through. Jesus knows about passing through. I read about the Northwest Passage between the end of the 15th century and the 20th century. Europeans from the continent there attempted to establish a commercial sea route north and west around the American continents. In 1845, Sir John Franklin led two very well-equipped ships on an expedition that ended up resulting in tragedy. They became ice-locked, and all 134 crew members passed away. However, the relief expeditions that came behind him were able to follow the failed course and map out the final passage through what we now refer to as the Northwest Passage. But there was a price for the passage. The price for the passage was the lives of 134 men. May I say to you that there is always a price attached to our passage. From this life to the other life, from this world to another world, you're going to find some struggle. You're going to find pain. The Pilgrim's Passage is marked by tragedy and triumph. It is marked by failure and fulfillment. As we pass through this life, we leave behind a trail littered with conflicts and challenges and trials and tears. And in our wake, the observer will find the shards of shattered pride and broken dreams and abdicated ambitions and hopeless hearts and messed up lives. And it's because we are passing through that we realize that there's a passage with a price attached to it. I'll tell you, while the scripture speaks prophetically of a future era, it is well said in Daniel 7 and 25 that the enemy shall speak great words against the Most High and shall attempt to wear out the saints of the Most High. I don't know about you, but there are times that I feel so completely and utterly overwhelmed that I can do nothing more but just simply sit down and call upon the name of Jesus and say, somehow you've got to help me get through this. I don't know if it's just me. Maybe it's just me preaching to me, but I have felt times when I didn't know what to do, where to go. My own earthly wisdom failed me, and all I could do was call out to a living God and say, would you help me pass through? Is there anybody in this house today that can say amen, preacher? Right now, I'm going through it. Right now, I've got a passage that I'm passing through, but with the help of the living God, I will, I shall, I must go through. There's a price for this passage. You may have to give up your own earthly dreams. Young men aspiring to the ministry may have to soon realize that it's not about the fast track to power. There will be those in the churches that we pastor, friends and pastors, that we will soon realize may not want us to pastor them, but yet we still have to carry whom we cannot heal. There will be times when we face financial hardship, when there are deficits in our budget, and there's too much month at the end of the money. And we have to ask ourselves, how will we do this? And there are people in the church that I pastor and people that are in this house today who can attest to the fact that there is indeed a price. No doubt in this place are people who will have to go home to abusive environments. Perhaps there are people in this house that will have to go home to a place where they can barely make it financially. Perhaps you're going home and there are health-related issues that you've tried to forget while you're here, but you have to face them when you're back in that place of reality. I cannot know all of the things that you may be facing, but this preacher has come to you in the authority of the Holy Ghost to tell you, you must pass through. You've got to go all the way through. It's not enough to go 20, 30 years and give up and say this life is too hard. My friend, God did not lead you all of this way to leave you. He made provision for us to pass through all the way to that place in the sky. I still want to go to heaven. I still want to make it my home. But we've just got to pass through. Come on, preacher. Come on, saint. Is there anyone in this house that's willing to pay the price to pass through? I still want to go to heaven, and I shall embark upon this pilgrim's passage. You may be seated. However, there are some great benefits. I would not want to leave with you the concept or impression that all of life is negative and difficult and challenging and full of trials and disappointments. There are some mountaintops in this life. There are some great victories that we've had in this passage. And there are some notable things that are occurring to us while we pass through. Indeed, we must realize what this passage is making out of us. Jesus has already told us that we should endure and that there will be a reward for those who do. But even in this life, we have a goal and a desire to become vessels of honor. There are some things that have to happen to us before heaven becomes our home. There will be no sin, no pride. There will be no presumption. There will be no conflict in heaven. And so we've got to pass through so that it can make us ready for that land. I see in Psalm 84 some beautiful things, some things that the pilgrim is made up out of in the process of his passage. In Psalm 84, I see that a desperate pilgrim is made out of this man or woman. This man or woman will cry out for him, the Bible says, and they become a desperate pilgrim. I find that in verses 4 and 5, those who are passing through become blessed pilgrims. Indeed, the Bible says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. End of the stanza. Then verse 5, blessed is the man who strengthens you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. I see a man or a woman, a pilgrim that's blessed. What is this making out of us? I'm glad you asked. It'll make courageous pilgrims out of us. For the Bible tells us that those who are passing through the valley of weeping will nonetheless have courage, take heart, and take courage, will have courage, take part of their soul. And they will begin to dig a well when everyone else will wonder what they're doing. Imagine with me the picture of someone digging in the dusty sands of the desert in hopes of finding water. It takes courage for somebody to stand on the promises of God when all around you it seems like there's success and that people are enjoying the benefits of this life. It takes courage for someone to step out and say, I'm going to live for God. I'll be the first one to the altar. I'll be the last one in the prayer room. Whatever I've got to do, it takes a courage. I remember reading recently that courage is such a wonderful and needed characteristic in leadership. I remember reading and it brought back a memory to me of my childhood, of a time and a place when we were swimming in a swimming pool. In fact, it was in old brother Jimmy Davis's swimming pool in Weed Patch, California. There with his sons and my cousins, we found our way to his backyard and we jumped into the pool, just us guys, and we began to swim. And Brother Davis had a diving board and I was a young man and we were still young children, essentially. And I remember as I looked up at the diving board and thinking to myself, I've never dived off a diving board before. And my friends and cousins that were there began to talk about it. Yeah, I can dive off that diving board. Yeah, I can do that. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not sure that I can. There was a certain sense of fear. I was just a young kid, and I was sure that those who said that they could do it had already done it. And yet, as I observed, they just kept on talking about it, and no one actually went and did it. And something came over me, and I clambered out of the pool and splashed up on the sidewalk and ran over to the steps of the ladder and began to walk up the ladder. And I heard my friends and my cousins saying, "What you doing, Barry?" I said, "I'm going to dive off of this diving board." And they all scrambled out of the pool and said, "Well, I can do it too. I'm coming too." But the problem was I had already made it to the ladder and I was the first in line. When I got up to the top and stood on that diving board, I realized that there were several people on the ladder behind me. And even if I wanted to get out of it, I couldn't. And so I decided that I would dive in and I took the plunge. May I say to you that that's leadership. You may not be the first one to think about it. You may not be the first one to discover it. But if you're the first one to do it, God bless you, my brother or sister. You've got courage. I want to know, are there any courageous pilgrims in this house? Is there anyone who will get out in the desert and dig a well when nobody else is doing it? That will say, God is going to bless me even when it doesn't look that way. I'm looking for some courageous pilgrims. As you pass through, you ought to dig a well. What does this passage make of us? It makes us patient pilgrims. The Bible says in Psalm 84 that this pilgrim will go from strength to strength. That means that after you have conquered and you face the battle and won, get ready. You're going to have to go to the next one and overcome that one as well. It'll make a patient pilgrim out of us. It'll make a thankful pilgrim out of us. For indeed, this pilgrim in Psalm 84 said, I'd much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be dwelling in the tents of the wicked. May I say to you that this passage will make you thankful. And I'll finally tell you that this passage will also make you a praising pilgrim, somebody that knows how to praise the Lord. You'll learn how to praise God in hell and high water. You'll learn how to praise God when you don't feel like it. You'll learn how to praise God when the things are up and when the things are down. You'll learn how to praise God when you've lost your job or your marriage is breaking up and that unsaved husband or wife doesn't want to live with you any longer. You'll learn how to live for God and praise Him anyhow when you've lost a spouse. You'll learn how to praise Him when you've gone through the deepest, darkest tunnel of time. You'll learn how to praise Him. That's what this passage makes of us. It's the process of passing through. You must pass through. You must go all the way through. But may I also say to you that we must observe where this passage takes us. Not only does it make us, but it will take us to another place. Indeed, in Psalm 84, we find the complete progression from the place that they started all the way to the courts of the king, through the courts of the king to the door of the temple, through the door of the temple into the very presence of the living God. I don't know your address. I don't know where you started from. I cannot know your circumstances, but I can tell you where we are going. It is a beautiful place. It's a wonderful land, and I want to go to heaven. I want to be there where I can see him face to face. I want to hear his voice. May I say to you that when you pass through, you'll pass through from here to there. I looked out a moment ago and saw Elder Battle. I love you, my dear brother Battle and sister Battle. Here is a pilgrim. These are pilgrims. They have learned what it means to pass through. I heard some elder, I can't remember who it was, tell me once. He said that the older I get, the more important heaven becomes to me. The more real it becomes to me. You know, it's not just a preaching point anymore. It's actually the place where I'm going. This passage is taking us somewhere. And I know that we're interested in building great buildings and seeing great congregations built. And I know that we want to reach all 6 billion people on the earth if we can. We want to get to all 240 countries of the world. And there are great and noble endeavors, and I want to see that happen. Don't get me wrong. I am interested in revival. I am wholly set in my heart upon it. But may I say to you that this passage will eventually pass us, not from here, into a brand new building, but into a place called heaven. I said, we're going to heaven. Is there anybody that wants to go to heaven? Is there anybody in this house that's willing to pass through? May I say to you, it's taken us all the way to heaven. Come on, stranger. Come on, pilgrim. Let's pass through this thing together. Hold my hand. I'll hold yours. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I must pass all the way through. The musicians can come. And so, there are spiritual rites of passage, just as there are in the natural realm. Places and points on the journey where we need to stop and commemorate the crisis or commemorate the triumph. There are places and points when we must undergo the difficult task of burying the dead, of dealing with divorce, of handling heartache, and we have to stop, and we have to understand this is part of my passage. And then there are times when we need to stop and we need to praise Him. Oh yeah. There are spiritual rites of passage. Indeed, Scripture says it well. Enter into his gates. There's the first rite of passage in the spiritual realm. You've got to get to the vicinity of the battle, to the place of his presence. And the Bible says that to enter into his gates, we should do so with thanksgiving, a spiritual rite of passage. There's something that can mark the life of a mature man or woman. It's when they are often found thanking the Lord. And they may be doing so in the darkest valley, but they thank Him anyhow. And then they enter through the gates into His courts. And this is the place of praise. And there is one place beyond that, but let me stop for a moment and say that it is no accident that some of the psalms we find in the book of Psalms are called psalms of degrees. For indeed they were psalms or songs that were sung as they took the steps from where they were up to Jerusalem, the city of God. There were degrees and times and places on the journey where they would stop and they would begin singing or praising this particular psalm to God. That's why we call it the Psalm of Degrees. It was essentially a process of taking some steps, then stopping to praise Him, taking a few more steps, and then stopping to praise Him. And then let's journey on, shall we? And then let's stop now and praise Him. Let's take a few more steps, and now let's stop and praise Him. All the way up to Jerusalem, the city of God, they would take some steps and stop to praise Him. I cannot know how you go through your passage, but may I suggest to you that as you walk and pass through, don't forget to stop and praise Him. As you step through every trial, you need to stop for a moment and go through a spiritual rite of passage. Stop and consider. Hold the note. Sustain the measure. Contemplate the moment and praise Him for a moment. You're not going to make it if you can't praise Him. You won't pass through if you're not praising your way as you're passing through. I say to you, take another step, then praise Him. Pass a few more steps, then praise Him. Go a little further, then praise Him. Go through the junk of life and still praise Him. Go through divorce and praise Him. Go through death and praise Him. Go through heartache and praise Him. Don't forget to praise Him. This passage is marked by up and down, good and bad, and all kinds of other things. But the one constant thing is that we should praise Him all the way to the city of God. Praising God is more than just an exercise. It's more than just an admonition. It's more than just the beat of a drum and the sounds of an organ. Praising God will literally pass us through to another land. I think of all of the people we know. I cannot possibly have time to mention all their names because essentially it's all of us. But I think of the people that have passed through the great trial and fire of life just recently. I think of Tim and Becky Bledsoe. I think of Clayton and Jan Brown. I think of Brother and Sister Smith. I think of Brother and Sister Buxton. Brother and Sister Fair. I think of all of these people. Forgive me if I have not called your name. You know who you are because it's all of us. Every one of us have passed through something. There's a cross on her back. Everybody here has a scar somewhere on this passage. But I say to you, God bless you, that you are still praising God as you pass through. It gives me strength for those that are coming behind. It encourages us to praise God while we pass through. Keep on praising Him, elder. Keep on praising Him, brother. Keep on praying. You're not hearing me today. I'm trying to get this in your spirit. If you're going to pass through this thing, you've got to get a revelation that you're going to do it while you pass through. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him when the sun bears its fierce grin upon us. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him in the light. Praise Him in the night. Praise Him in Death Valley. And praise Him on the mountaintop of victory. Come on, somebody. If you're going to pass through, you've got to get a revelation of taking some steps and praising Him. Taking some steps and praising Him. Stopping and praising Him. Do I have any praisers in the house? I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, where you came from, or where you think you're going. If you're going to pass through, you've got to pass through while praising Him. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and then on into the courts with praise. Somebody needs this revelation. The spiritual rites of passage will always be punctuated by praise. Hallelujah. My God, I think I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Anybody feeling the Holy Ghost right now? Brother Wilson had it right. We need to feel this thing. We need to experience this thing. I don't know what's going to face me when I get back home. I don't know if there's even a church there when I get back home. I believe there is. I thank God that there is. But I don't even know what to expect. But one thing I can do, I can praise Him on the platform. I can praise Him back out at the pew. I can praise Him in my car. I can praise Him at my home. I can praise Him in the house of God. Whatever I do, wherever I go, I must praise Him. Hallelujah. In this land, there's heartache and pain. But in that land, there will be no heartache and pain. In this land, there's death and there's dying. But in that land, there's no death and there will be no dying. In this land, there will be tears that spot our eyes. But in that land, there will be no tears, for they shall be wiped from every eye. In this land, you're going to have to pass through junk and pay a price. But in that land, you'll enjoy the fruits of the passage that Jesus Christ Himself went through. It's no accident that the preacher will tell you, you need to praise God here like you're already in heaven. Let's have a little heaven down here. I'll tell you how you get to heaven while you're still here. You got to praise Him. You've got to worship Him. You've got to lift Him while you're passing through. Do I have any praisers in the house? Anybody passing through today? Well, I've got a word for you. When you pass through the waters, God said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame ever scorch you. Keep on walking. Keep on praising. Keep on walking. Keep on praising. You're not hearing me. We need to praise Him here this morning. It's one thing to know the words of the song about praising Him. It's one thing to just mouth the words about praise. But it's an altogether different thing when somebody gets the revelation, I don't have another life to pass through with. I might as well praise Him now. Amen. And so, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't, and I won't, and I shall not feel at home in this world anymore. I'm just Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to worship Him. Come on, somebody. We've got to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on. Let's pass on through to another land.